Welcome. I'm Jessica Teigen, and this is the Evolving to Exceptional podcast, where we talk about reaching peak performance in our workplaces, homes, and communities so that we can live our best life possible, an exceptional life. Welcome back to Evolving to Exceptional, the podcast. This episode is the second episode in our Evolving Workplaces series that we are doing to correlate with my new book that I'm writing around evolving workplaces. So in the last episode, we talked about how corporate is dead or maybe dying, and that the traditional corporate environment is no longer both what people want and what is needed, and that it really has come to a place in time where, because people have changed and our world has changed, it's time for us to rethink how we run our businesses and for our businesses to change. So in today's episode, I want to talk about what we need to do differently, and really using an analogy to think about how if traditional corporate business was run like a machine, what if the new business is evolving like a human being? So instead of operating and executing a business like a quote-unquote well-oiled machine, which we've heard for years, if instead we focus on how do we evolve our businesses like we evolve as human beings, or like how all beings evolve on this earth.
So Jessica, when you say run like a machine, I know traditionally we've heard that phrase, but what do we specifically mean that corporate has kind of been that it's run businesses like a machine? What do we mean by that?
Yeah, I came across this quote and I just love it. A successful corporation is often said to be well-run or even a well-oiled machine. It is also a good system that is efficient and well-designed. When you hear these descriptions or hundreds of others like them, you're hearing the belief that employees should be cogs in the corporate machine. So I think we've all probably heard these sayings of optimize, well-oiled machine, run it well, how well do you run a business? And that is the kind of corporate machine we're talking about.
So when you say that, kind of images of rigidness, stability, really solid kind of jump out in my mind. Is that kind of what we're talking about here?
Well, yeah. Think about your typical manufacturing, right? That's our background, right? Process automation and manufacturing. If you think about a machine or an automation system, they're rigid, they're stable, they're solid. They don't really vary how they operate. There's one kind of way that work gets done, or maybe a couple different ways, but things flow through fairly consistently. All the parts are literally identical. So, you know, if you replace a part of the machine, you're replacing it with an almost identical part. They're easy to replace. Each of the machines, it's easy to kind of test them and get data on the issues or things that are happening with the machine, because you can test just one variable and you can eliminate the others. You know, some other examples of, you know, kind of corporate being like a machine is that in the case of a machine, there is a control room and there's a small set of operators or engineers or those who are responsible for really managing and controlling everything that happens through that process or through that manufacturing machine. And so there's all this need for control that's at the top, and there's really not the same, it doesn't exist throughout or within the machine. And then the other thing about machines is that they never grow, that they don't actually ever change on their own, in that the only way to change them is pretty slow. They're typically welded together. You've got to pull out the pieces. If you wanted to change the entire machine, in a lot of cases, it's easier to just build a new one than to actually have to improve or change or make changes to the machine itself. And then I think the biggest thing to keep in mind when you think about corporate as machine is that machines have no feelings. There's no emotions. There's no motivation. They don't have a life outside of what they do every day as a machine. There's no personal needs, no growth, no need for change. a machine literally exists just to execute what it's programmed and expected to execute.
And then when we say business evolving like a human being, what do we mean by that? What's the contrast or the difference between those two kind of approaches to running a business?
Yeah, so if you think about the corporate machine as being that like stable, solid, that is really, I think, what all those quotes refer to is how do you stabilize business and make it as consistent and repeatable as possible, right? And if we do that, and the way that we do that is by treating it as if it were a machine. Now, the challenge is that businesses are actually not made up of machines. They're made up of people, right? And so, when we think about business as beings or as living beings, I think we can look at some of those same elements and kind of put them in a different context. So let's use a human being as our model. So if a business is actually a living being, let's use the human being as a model. And all the elements of a human being or a human body, all those elements of and people of the are of the business. Let me say that another way. When we use a human being as a model, all the elements of the human being body are like the elements people of the business. Some play the role of, say, the brain. And we know the brain can't exist without blood from the heart. So some play the role of the heart. The heart can't exist without oxygen from the lungs. Some play the role of the lungs, which can't breathe without the mouth. Some play the role of blood. Without oxygen, it can't get to the lungs without the blood. The way oxygen gets to the lungs is through the blood. And some play the role of the skin. Without skin, we'd all fall apart. So when we think about our bodies as beings, every single part and piece and element of our body is important to our overall well-being, is important to our health and how we operate and how we show up. It's not a hierarchy. There's not one part of our body that's superior to another. And even if you start to say, like in this analogy, that the brain is the most important, well, the brain doesn't exist without everything else. So it really creates a set of dependencies and interconnected and interrelated beings rather than separate and distinct parts and pieces.
That is, I mean, that's very, very powerful. And it's a very unique way to look at businesses, right? Because I think for so long we've all seen that traditional corporate setting, it's easy to replace people. With using that analogy as the human body, I can see the correlation between, running it as a machine, how that differs from looking at it as a human body.
And you can really see how every element, every person becomes really important in a way that we don't always, I think, consider. And I know I've heard before, and we used to talk about this when we would recruit and hire. How did our candidates treat the receptionist? If they were rude and unkind and dismissive to the receptionist, then that's a huge red flag. That's a huge flag as to how the person's going to show up and exist in your culture because every role is critically important and everyone performs a different role. And without it, the whole business doesn't run. You need all of those different functions. And so when we treat it like a machine, we can say certain parts are more important than others, they're more valuable, they're worth more. But when we treat it as a being, we realize, oh, I need all those parts. They're all important. And we may have a lot more people that play the role of skin, holding it all together, keeping everything running, keeping everything going. But they're still important because without them, it all falls apart.
So that really creates that beings are kind of in balance versus a machine where there are things that might be a little out of whack, and once one of those things is out of whack, everything else kind of seems to fall apart.
Yeah, and I think what goes along with that is that there's no one piece that's in control of everything. all of the pieces, all of the elements or the different people are working together for the greater good of the whole being. So instead of them existing just for their singular purpose, they exist in an interconnected, interrelated way that actually benefits the growth and evolution of the overall being. So how those parts are working together actually becomes critical to the health of the overall business being. And that they all have to kind of be in balance or playing the roles that they need to be playing and not competing for resources. So often in the corporate workplace, we talked about how different groups can become competitive and trying to win out over another group for power, for control, for resources, for, you know, headcount additions. And when they're competing, then they're not in balance. Then they're actually depleting resources from another part of the being, which only hurts the overall health of the being. So when we think about this in terms of balance, we're thinking about keeping the health of each individual element, each individual person, because without that, one impacts the other. Without that, the whole being becomes out of balance.
And then that makes it harder to replace too, a little bit, versus a machine.
Absolutely. And I think the other thing, I mean, you see this all the time. It's an interesting analogy, but you see this all the time when like a critical person with really key knowledge, key information becomes incapacitated for some reason. You know, they have a spouse who gets sick or they themselves get injured or sick, and that the whole being suffers as a result. There's a shift in adjustment. And so maintaining the health, maintaining the wellness, supporting and creating really tight connections reduces that impact on the overall being.
And what you said earlier too kind of resonated with me, Jessica, around machines are so, they're programmed to do the same thing just over and over again, really lack that flexibility. With seeing this, you know, this new approach, seeing business as a being, that's completely the opposite. It shows that businesses need to be flexible, running it as, you know, beings are flexible, but they're still highly complex.
Absolutely. Where a machine can only operate the way that it's been built and programmed, beings have an almost infinite possible ways in which to leverage their capabilities, the being's capabilities to execute the work. There are so many different choices. It actually can become overwhelming, you know, when you're trying to find the best way or the perfect way. But because we're so complicated, because we have all those things that machines don't have, like the ability to think critically and feelings and motivations and needs outside work and all those pieces, it becomes possible to actually really adapt and shift and change. But it's also really hard to replace those individuals because they develop that unique set of knowledge and experience that no other person can actually have exactly the same because of time and change and just their own experience. And so replacing that element becomes really hard. So kind of like in a body or in a person, it's not, you can't replace a heart with just any heart. Right? You can't just rip it out and put a new one in. It has a significant impact on the overall well-being of the being. And I think when we see, you know, an area where you see this is when you do major downsizing and cuts, it really cuts at the core of the business. And it cuts at, you know, when you're cutting people out in that way, it can cause a lot of harm and pain to the overall organization. And it's not the way that it was in that traditional corporate world.
And, you know, what that reminds me of is that anytime I've left an organization, I hate to say it, but I kind of did want it to be a little painful in some sense, because I wanted to feel like I mattered, that I was valued there, that the work that I did mattered. And so when I would see that I got easily replaced, it was like, oh, well, anyone could have done that job, right? I was just another number to them. I wanted to feel that I mattered to that company.
Well, and I think that probably, if we're honest, that element contributes to the exit. Mm-hmm. If you really matter and you're really interconnected in a positive and effective and healthy way, then you don't leave, right? You don't pull yourself away. You only only pull off the pieces that aren't working or that if it's not healthy to you. The other thing I think about that complexity is that it makes it really hard to find what really is the problem or what really is the challenge. When you go to measure or to look at metrics or data or information, people are so complex and there's so many pieces and elements that contribute to the outcomes that it's not easy to just, well, let's just try another variable until we, keep everything else the same and keep changing this out until we get the answer or the solution that we need. It's just so much more complicated than that.
I know in the past when we've done our engagement surveys and we kind of do debriefs with the individual teams, and employees would say, well, I just answer that question that day that way because I just had a really bad morning. I was running late. I came in and I had 15 unread emails. I had a really upset customer. And so the day I took that survey, I completely was just in a bad headspace, and that's why I responded the way that I did. And so when we look at the metrics, we're like, oh, okay, we're showing low engagement, but that might not necessarily be the case, right? There's all these external things that could be impacting an individual that makes them more complex.
Exactly. And then I think the really obvious, like probably the most obvious difference is that beings can evolve and grow. That beings actually respond to their encounters and experiences in the world. And so when they encounter challenges, the body, the mind, the being actually grows and evolves and adapts in response to it. And that's why, those that teach around evolution talk about the adaptations that happen to our physical bodies in response to our environments and what we need in our environments. And so, behaviors can actually be learned to be able to change more quickly, adapt and grow. We can actually evolve our beings. Most of our work now is intellectual and thinking-based work. We can actually evolve our capacities and our capabilities in order to grow and change and move more quickly. And the more that we learn these new capabilities and develop them, the more that we grow individually and collectively as a being. And that's why when we talk about evolving our workplaces, I think it's such a great word because it's not about changing everything about our workplace. It's about growing and evolving our workplaces and the people within them, the people that make them up, in order to create better, more positive outcomes in the world, in order to bring about the changes we want to see in the world. And, beings overall, we have all of those emotions, right? With feelings and motivation and life experiences and personal needs and growth and need for change. And we exist to contribute far more in our lives than just to execute our jobs. Even those that are motivated by their jobs, and I'm one of them, I was so motivated for the first, decade of my career by, performing my job at my best. I'm still motivated by this business that we're building. But it's about something more. It's either about achievement, or it's about making a difference, or it's about contributing, and having what I need to support my family. Whatever it is, it exists more than just because I want to show up and do that job every day. I don't just do that job to do that job. I do it for a greater purpose or a greater sense of existence. And I think that that's really the case for most human beings, most people that make up our businesses today.
Absolutely. And that's the difference there with, a machine just exists to perform that one task. So if I take that machine and I stick it anywhere in the world, it's just going to keep doing that one thing over and over and over again. There is no growth. There is no need for change. It doesn't adapt. It doesn't matter where it is. Time and place is completely irregardless because that machine just exists to perform that one task. And we know humans are completely different than that.
Well, and if you think about it, even the word beings, and I'm using that intentionally because it's a living thing. It's a living, changing, adapting, growing, evolving entity, not a static state. And beings are our businesses, you know, if we're thinking about those as beings, are made up of beings, right? Of human beings. But those human beings are actually also a part of another collective being. They're part of their families or their homes or their communities or the world at large. And so each element or person is actually part of another collective being. And these small beings, these human beings, our elements make up larger ones. They make up our families, they make up our businesses, they make up our communities, they make up our world. And it's an interconnected, reliant model that requires us to depend upon each other for our own existence. And so we need all of them. We need our families, we need our communities, our businesses, our society, the world at large. We need those elements. And we need to look at them as living pieces of one big whole so that we can think about that one impacts the other. And we can't compartmentalize and say, you know, oh, well, that person's family is not a part of what we're doing in the business. They can leave that at home. That's not my responsibility to worry about what they're going through with their children or what's happening in their homes or what's happening in their community. I mean, you can imagine the impact of the entire community that just reacted to the elementary school shooting in Texas last week. I mean, that rocks a community. It rocks how you think. I mean, it rocked the whole world, I think. But for those living in the community that actually lost and had connections to the children that were lost that day, you can't pretend that they can just leave that at home and come to work as if everything were the same. It's not. But what I want to be honest about is that there's complexities and challenges that come with this model too.
That was going to be actually my next question, which is a perfect segue. You know, the model really resonates with me, and I think it all sounds great. But as you're talking, I'm starting to think of some of these challenges that might come up. You know, we talked earlier about that with this new model, it's going to get harder to replace people. So it's already hard enough. You know, we're hearing that HR folks are extremely burnt out with recruiting efforts. There's a talent shortage in almost every industry across the board right now. So this new model will present additional challenges as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's going to become more difficult as the work that people are doing becomes more complex and changes more frequently for us to quickly plug and play or place people into new businesses and new roles, and to come up to speed in those businesses. Now, I'm saying harder, not impossible, but it definitely will transform training practices, you know, recruitment practices and retention practices, because they'll become that much more important. It will be more important to look at how do I retain, and then how do I effectively integrate when I do have to replace or bring people in a way that minimizes impact to the surrounding, or to the overall being.
Yeah, and then that also makes it harder to optimize processes and systems too, right?
Absolutely. I mean, in a lot of ways, if we're really embracing that everyone's unique and different, and at different places and different places in terms of their progression and capabilities, then if we want to take advantage of that opportunity, it may mean becoming less strict with our process or system. It may mean building in more flexibility to how people execute their work, to the type of work different people are executing, giving people more, you know, empowering people with more responsibility. But then that also requires more, you know, effective performance practices so that you can give people that responsibility.
Yeah, and if we're talking about also becoming less hierarchical as well, that means it's going to be harder to maintain some of that control over everything, right? If we're empowering employees and we're kind of dispersing that responsibility, that control, it's going to be harder to, you know, how do we do this so effectively so that there's still control, a healthy level of control, but not to the point where it's running things like a machine.
Well, I think you have to move away from the word control. because I don't think that you can control a living thing. Because the pieces and the things respond to the environment and experiences that they're within. Right? So think about, our bodies. If we're scared, if we get startled, then our bodies react with a startle reflex. And then we start to scan for potential threats and can move into fight, flight, or freeze mode, right? Our body just immediately is going to do those things. So I think likewise, when we think about the people in our businesses and in our cultures, they're going to react and respond to their experiences. We can't control that. What we can do is equip them with how to navigate those responses. So just like the startle reflex, being aware of, okay, I was just startled. No, this is not a serious threat. I don't need to go into fight or flight mode, can change how we choose to respond and react in a circumstance with our bodies. Similarly, in the workplace, we can use experiences to help shape how people respond. So, if I experience high levels of integrity, then I know that I should respond with a high level of integrity. If I experience very clear expectations and guidelines are parameters, boundaries, that's a better word. Boundaries within which I can operate, then I learn that's an appropriate level of responsibility or empowerment, and where I need to seek input or feedback. So it becomes a learned experience that then becomes reflexive rather than something that we're having to control or keep our a tight reins around to keep it from becoming a challenge. I think you end up having to get rid of certain practices that are almost staples in a lot of organizations, like, potentially how we look at employee handbooks, policies, procedures. And I'm an attorney, so I'm not saying throw out all of the policies and procedures. That would be a bad idea. But, what really requires control and what doesn't, and taking a hard look at that.
Yeah, and I was just going to say that that's a good segue into also, it's going to get harder to get those results using control, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Those rigid business practices and the, holding that control is not going to equate to the results you want to see. So you're going to have to get results another way. You can't get results by saying, if I see everybody from 9 to 5 every day, I know they're working and that I'm going to get the output of that work, which, arguably they're actually not necessarily getting, because people are great at dragging their feet and not being as effective as they could be, especially when they're frustrated and disengaged, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So with this model too, I think we're going to have to also get highly effective at performance management practices as well, because that, once a year annual review is not going to cut it if we're going to adopt this new model.
Yeah, and I mean, I would argue that that ship sailed almost a decade ago, that we know annual reviews are not effective, but I think our performance practices are going to have to be even more honed. So we're going to need to help people develop skills really early on in terms of their performance that allows them to have these experiences that we were just talking about, that allows them to really understand how to show up in an effective way and respond to the challenges that they encounter when they're in the business. Because that's really what people are doing every day. They're not necessarily, doing rote tasks anymore. The hard part about work is responding to the challenges and things that pop up every day. Those are the things that are difficult. It's not the simple, I'm just scanning documents all day long. We don't do that anymore. We have machines to do that, or arguably interns in some cases.
Exactly. So we know that businesses as beings can create better outcomes for everyone, but what could this potentially look like in businesses?
So I've kind of mapped out what I call kind of like 12 transformations or 12 shifts that I think are going to happen and that I want to talk about as part of this Evolving Workplaces series. So from head to heart, so how do we move from a thinking only analytical organization to a heart-based organization? from competition to collaboration. So moving out of that competitive, limited resources mentality to a let's work together. From separation to connection. So really building those strong connections in our beings, in our businesses, rather than thinking of each individual as a separate part or piece. From transaction to shared agreement. So instead of it being a transaction, employee to employer, I give you work, you pay me money as a transaction, that it's really a shared agreement or shared partnership in terms of the overall health of the being and what that individual person or element gets in response for or as part of the shared agreement to exist as part of the larger being. From control and rules to trust and guidance. So how do we build that trust and put the guidance in place so we don't have to have all of the control and the rules? How do we move from results to performance? So really focusing on honing and helping people show up and exist at their best rather than only focusing on metrics, numbers, and what they achieve. From struggle to play. So how do we move from seeing work as hard and difficult and something to fight to something we can actually enjoy? We can find a way to play and have fun with it. And likewise, how to move from the pain and suffering that we associate with work to joy, to abundance, to having fun and enjoying what we're doing. How do we move from scarcity to there's not enough resources to go around, so I have to fight to keep my share, to abundance, that there's more than enough opportunity, there's more than enough resources. I don't have to fight, compete, or hold my own, hoard, that's the word I'm looking for, hoard my own resources because there's more than enough. How do I move from fear to freedom? So a culture of fear, don't mess up, don't screw up, you might get fired, don't be at the bottom, to freedom. How do we give people the flexibility that they need to make the decisions that are in the best interest of themselves and the overall being? Moving from profit to purpose and passion. So moving from a numbers-driven corporate focus to really making a difference, bringing a purpose and a passion to everything we do that actually transforms and improves the world. And then moving from limitations to possibilities. Instead of seeing all the problems and all the things and only the things that are getting in the way, to move to really seeing all of the opportunity and possibilities that exist for business, for growth, for change, for improvement. So in the coming weeks, what we're going to do is we're going to discuss each of these elements around evolving workplaces. And so we're going to try to drop a episode every week around this evolving workplaces series that we're going to do. We'll drop a podcast episode talking about the topic, introducing kind of the challenges around that topic. And then we're going to hold live webinars to go deeper around what are some of the solutions or how do we do it? How do we go about making the shift? Is it worthwhile? What are the challenges that we see? And just really diving deep into that topic. So we'll be holding these live webinars on LinkedIn Live every week. We'll be sending out or putting those up on LinkedIn. If you want to sign up and tune into this series all summer on evolving workplaces, make sure to go over to our website, evolvingtoexceptional.com. On the homepage, there'll be a spot for you to register so you can get weekly reminders of when those live webinars will be. And if you want to sign up for our community, you can do that as well. It's a really inexpensive program to participate and be able to provide your input, your thoughts, your ideas, your suggestions. Everything we cover over these next 12 weeks as we tackle these topics is going to go into the book that I'm writing right now with Meldina, Evolving Workplaces, Business as Beings, and really highlighting this shift that we think could bring a lot of value to workplaces in the future and to how we go about working in this new world of work. So, I look forward to connecting with more of you. Make sure to jump onto our website, sign up for this series, Evolving Workplaces, and we will be back with the next episode around Evolving to Exceptional, and look forward to continuing this series. Have a great, fantastic day, and remember to just always keep evolving.